Hello, hello. Welcome to Differently Brained, the podcast where no brain is the same. I'm Jacinta Dietrich.
And I'm just some guy called Lachlan Rutherford. Jacinta and I are here at the end of year one, series one of Differently Brained.
We did a whole year.
Yep. Good on us. I want to say, well, first of all, thank you to the listeners for listening. But also thank you to you, Jacinta. This is your brainchild, this little podcast of ours. Considering this, a year later, how do you feel things have gone so far? Are you proud? Are you proud of us?
I'm so proud. I'm not normally like a toot my own horn kind of person. And it's not necessarily like I'm proud of us, but I'm just so stoked by how it's gone and how supportive everyone's been and how much they've loved it. It's felt just so special. And it's, I said on our Instagram stories the other day, it's genuinely one of the best things I think I've ever been part of, that I've ever made, that I've ever done. And it just feels so special. You know, I know that we're not the best podcast out there, that, you know, we don't have a full setup, that we do this at our homes, our respective individual separate homes, under blankets, and, you know, with just
with ice packs.
With ice packs and just JB Hi-Fi microphones. But I'm just so proud that we were able to do a whole year, because often I don't finish all of my projects and ideas, but just that, you know, we've been able to do a whole year and that people have stayed with us for a whole year. Like, that just feels so special. And oh, I think I'm going to cry a little bit. I'm so happy that we did it. I'm just so proud of it. Yes, I am proud of our baby podcast.
That reminds me of a thing that you sent to me far earlier on in the piece, when things were just kind of starting to get going and we were getting a few listeners more than we ever anticipated. And you said to me in a message, do you ever think about the podcast and it makes you want to cry from happiness? And I was at the time I was like, not really. It doesn't really feel that way. But I get it, man. I totally get it.
I never used to think of myself as a crier. In our family, my sister is always the crier, and it's always like, it's not always sad. She's just got a lot of emotions. She's just such a beautiful human being, and she lets them out. And it's often, you know, that she's so happy or so excited and things like that, that in perspective, I've never thought of myself as a crier. But the amount of times I've cried this year, specifically over the podcast,
yeah,
like it's probably like 90% of my tears have been just so happy or proud or excited about something that's happened for the podcast, or someone messaged or emailed and said, you know, I feel this too, or thank you, and things like that. And it's just, yeah, the podcast is a big happy tears moment for me.
Yeah. And some of the messages that we get, just like, people don't have to write those. And you see people writing messages saying like, you're really providing a good thing for people and that kind of stuff, and that we're good at talking to people and stuff. Like, I don't believe that I'm good at talking to people, but another person said that who didn't have to say that, and that's so nice. It's just, yeah. So even though things have gone quite well in our first year, has anything gone differently to what you envisioned this would be like in the first place?
Like, yeah, probably. One, I wasn't sure that we were going to make it through the whole year, not because of you, but exclusively because sometimes I get excited and I do a thing and then it just never eventuates. Like, I don't have very good follow through as a neurodivergent girly. I'm sure lots of people can, you know, kind of relate, but this had been something that I'd been sitting with for a couple of years and thinking about, and I hadn't done anything with it. So I guess I did just assume that even if I started, maybe I wouldn't see it through. And I genuinely thought it would be so much harder to get guests than what it was. We were so, so lucky that so many publishers and authors connected us with just amazing people. Randoms reached out after listening to like the first few episodes and was like, I want to be on. Like, the fact that people engaged so quickly, so early on, and then started coming to us offering their story was an absolute shock, because I thought I was going to be really scraping, really stretching, you know, begging PR firms to just give us someone, anyone kind of thing, or that it was just going to be, you know, me and you for a bunch of episodes, which, like, you know, people like the me and you episodes, but I just thought it would take a lot longer and a lot more work. It was a lot of work, but I thought it would take a lot longer for people to be interested and to want to speak to us because, you know, we don't have public profiles. We're not celebrities. We're just...
I don't know about that.
Again, we're just two randos in our houses with microphones. You know what I mean? Like, we are the stereotypical podcast millennials. And so I think I was expecting people to treat our podcast kind of like that. Like, oh, yeah, sure, you do this at home for fun, for whatever kind of thing. Mm. And the fact that people took us so seriously so quickly, it was so validating. It was so special.
We had a wait list for guests at a certain point, didn't we? Like, we had so many people who wanted to be guests that there was essentially like a backlog.
Yeah, like I've had to look at how we're going to do it in 2024, and the fact that, you know, as much as I know it's not the most neurodivergent friendly way to do it, but I'm probably going to have to like get people to fill in a Google form or something like that because we just got so many DMs and emails and like contact in all of these random places that I just couldn't, one, follow it up all up and keep track of it. So if you wanted to be a guest last year and like I lost your DM or something, I'm so sorry because it just took off so much more than we were anticipating, and I had not put any growth plans in at all. Like, our system was not scalable because we didn't expect to need to. So, yeah, it was just so special that, you know, everyone supported us just so bloody much, whether they listened or shared their story or shared it on their socials or messaged us. Just all of it was so amazing.
And I mean, this is the first foray of either of us into this kind of media production type thing. And so, like, the first year is always going to be a little bit wobbly in terms of learning things. And we have learned quite a lot from not just, you know, messing things up or, or like getting help from like other people who are in the field as well, but also, I guess, learning stuff from guests as well. I want to know, Jacinta, have you, generally speaking, learned anything that's been particularly valuable from our wonderful guests? Specific examples, but also generally speaking, I suppose.
I guess, generally speaking, I've learned how to make a podcast. Not the audio side of it, obviously, but, you know, I've learned a lot of how the back end of things works and how you go about doing all the bits and pieces and how to interview someone. I'd never interviewed anyone before we did this in any formal capacity. And like, I still think there's a lot of room to grow and like, I'm not great at it. I just spit the questions that I kind of want to know. I treat it very much as a selfish conversation that I hope resonates with other people, I guess. But I think one of the biggest things that it's not necessarily that I've learned, but that, oh, I guess it is, because I never really believed it as much, but as much as we were building this community to make other people feel less alone and less isolated, it's really made me feel less isolated. There are so many things that even after getting my labels and leaning into my identity and things like that, that I still probably felt a bit like, you're weird, that's only you still kind of thing. And so to every fortnight speak to someone and have them share their experiences that line up with me and have them kind of tell me back the things that I struggle with or that I love, that kind of stuff, it's just been so special and such a reminder that I'm not alone. You guys aren't alone. I'm not alone. We're in it together. And all the things that I question about myself, you know, there's other people out there doing the exact same thing. The fact that we weren't cancelled over our toothbrushing episode, genuinely beyond me. I am so shocked by, one, the fact that we weren't cancelled, but two, the amount of people who also just hate brushing their teeth. They hate showering, things like that, where I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. So I learned that a lot of people, whether it's big or small, share a lot of stuff with me. And that was really special and really validating. You know, I obviously learned a lot about the experiences that aren't mine, like OCD and trichotillomania and things like that, from you and from our other guests and stuff. And so now I feel like I am a better person when I go out into society and, you know, I engage with other people and I have a wider scope and understanding of, their experiences in the same way that I wish more people had more of an understanding about being autistic or being an ADHD and things like that. So I think it's just all round made me a better person probably, and just really done magical things for my mental health personally in terms of I have a whole bunch of people now who also don't brush their teeth, and that's amazing.
Not to, you know, play favorites or put you on the spot, even though this whole episode is me putting you on the spot because you haven't seen these questions.
But I haven't.
Out of the guests that we've had, which one kind of resonated the most with you in what they said that stuck with you about your own labels, so to speak?
Oh, I feel so bad.
I know. But
I don't think it'll come as a surprise or a shock to anyone because I was incredibly open about it during the episode and also after, but Kay Kerr was someone who I really, really, really wanted to get on the podcast when we first decided that we were going to jump in and do this. And the fact that she came on twice was just so incredibly special. And, you know, I cried in the first one because Kay was so instrumental in me getting a diagnosis and understanding myself in those early months and years where I was trying to figure out, am I autistic and things like that. So to be able to speak to her on our podcast was just so incredibly special. And so many of her experiences resonate with mine. And then in the second episode where we talked about her book, Love and Autism, it really helped me reframe a lot of things. So there was so many times where I either because I've internalized it or because other people have come to me with these types of discussions, but I was still looking at myself with a very deficit lens and looking at my weaknesses and things like that. And the absolutely beautiful things that were said in that book about autistic joy, you know, and there's a specific paragraph that we discuss in that episode about how when Kay's daughter was identified as autistic, nobody said to her, your daughter is going to get so, so much joy out of a leaf or a feather and things like that. And it's been something that's really guided me through this year in terms of leaning into those emotions and not masking them and, you know, letting myself happy cry when I feel like I need to and happy stim and all of those things that, you know, I would have felt, but I probably would have masked or suppressed and waited until I was in the car or at home, or I just wouldn't have felt those feelings and then would have, you know, probably had an emotional outburst at another point, because even when they're positive feelings, like, you shouldn't hide them. They're still going to build up and then come out in some way kind of thing. So
yeah,
I think that was those two, but, you know, Kay as a guest was really, really special for me on a personal level because she'd already been such a big part of my situation that it was really, really special that she came on.
Aside from having to come up with an answer to that question that didn't offend anyone, which is your, what would you say has been like the trickiest thing so far this year in terms of the podcast?
Oh, the admin for sure. Like, I don't know if you guys ever look at them, but my show notes are terrible and I know I'm working on them. We are getting better. I have templates now and things. So in 2024, I promise that all the info I say is going to be there is actually going to be in there because, you know, I've done all of the exciting stuff and I've done the interview and I generally know about the people that we speak to a bit before. And by the end of the episode, I definitely know about them. So then when I sit down to do the show notes, I'm like, well, I already know all this. And, you know, I know that I need to get better at that so that you guys can have the resources that I actually promised you are going to be there and things like that. So the admin side of it has been really, really challenging because there is no novelty or game there, I guess. And because, you know, I already know all of it personally kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that is something that for next year, I will be putting structures in place. Emails, I always knew going in was going to be a blur task for me. And I'm just lucky enough that, you know, we regularly get really, really nice emails. So every time I sit down going, I know I have to do the differently brained emails in this chunk of time, I know that it's really likely that I'm going to get a really, really nice or exciting one that I'll be able to send to you and to share. And so that's really, really helped with that part of the admin stuff. But even still, yeah, emails and just that side of it, because, you know, preparing the episodes and finding the guests and all of that stuff, that's just so exciting and it's just so fun. And oftentimes the people I reach out to, I really admire and I'm really excited to talk to and things like that. So that side of the admin is easy. It's just after the episode's been done and we're, you know, tidying up and doing the show notes and the socials, that's when it gets hard.
Yeah.
Speaking of, if anybody wants anything specific from our socials next year, please reach out and let us know, because we have no idea what we're doing. And this year was really figuring out how to do a podcast. And next year, we're going to be getting better at the socials. So if you want to see more of a particular something, shoot me an email, send me a DM, because I'm really good at those now and I have a thing. And we will try and get more of that out there and be more exciting on Instagram and things.
Yeah. But I mean, this is the thing, though, going back again to the fact that we're essentially a grassroots thing and it's just us two doing all of the things, right?
With zero funding whatever I had in my savings.
Like, we've had assistance. Like, we had Anthony Frasina come and edit an episode for us, which was fantastic, and we're very grateful to him for that. And I know for a fact that Lucas edited an episode one time. It's not easy doing all of the roles between the two of us, but I think because we work well together and we know each other's strengths, like, I'm so stoked by the fact that you get excited about the part of the admin that is contacting people. Because that fills me with dread, honestly. That's the thing that I could not do. So well done to you for that.
Thank you.
Now, Jacinta.
Yes?
What's the most rewarding thing that has happened this year with the podcast, aside from doing it, I guess? You kind of already answered this a lot, but I'm just chucking it in anyway, because it's good to gush about these kinds of things, I think.
It's very natural for the two of us to under-celebrate our accomplishments and the things that we've done, I think, which is specifically why I decided we'll both be doing a wrap episode so that we're each forced to look at the year and all the things that we've done. I've been honest about it on the podcast, so there's no point shying away from it now, but I really like external validation. I know that that's something that, you know, I can't control, so I shouldn't rely on it. And I'm really working on, you know, intrinsic celebration and validation and things like that. But it has just been so rewarding to see how many people have come out and said thank you. Because we definitely started this podcast to talk to other people and make other people feel less alone. But I think there was a small to large part of me that was pretty confident that we maybe weren't going to work, that people were going to not resonate because we are small or because our audio isn't professional, like in a studio, that there was going to be too many barriers, or that no one would hear about us, just no one would share us, no one would know about us. And so the fact that we actually have a community of people, like on our Spotify Wrapped this year, we were the number one podcast for 32 people. And I know in the grand scheme of podcasts, that's like a drop in the sand, but that's 32 extra friends that I didn't have before, probably. Yeah. Like
I don't interact with 32 people, generally speaking, anyway, so that's wild.
Yeah, so the fact that 32 people consistently listen to us and engage with us and like our stuff is just so amazing and beyond what I expected, because I genuinely thought it was going to be like my mum and like a few friends. So to have people actually engage was so rewarding. To then be able to speak on a bunch of other podcasts, like I know that's outside of ours, but because we have this, I then got invited to speak on other people's podcasts, and that was really special. And that was just so amazing that, one, they saw value in our homegrown grassroots podcast, and that, two, they like what we're doing and they wanted to give me their platform, which was oftentimes a lot bigger than our platform, to talk about being neurodivergent and struggling with my mental health and writing about those things. It's been just such a weird and special thing for my career that this year has just gone completely not how I expected. And so to have the podcast as a constant throughout, I think, was something that I really, really needed, that something grounded me. And it's given me so many more opportunities than I would have had otherwise without it, kind of thing. Mm. So, yeah, I know that it's essentially the same answer, but I think, yeah, finding this community is 100% the most rewarding thing, because that's why we did it.
Yeah.
And just have seen that actually work was astounding.
I think that there's a tendency with these kinds of end of year, end of series sorts of wrap ups to, you know, pat yourself on the back and say, haven't we done a good job kind of thing, which is, you know, obviously that's what we're trying to do more of, you and I, Jacinta. Yeah. But at the end of the day, none of it is really anything without the community, you know, like it's relies on that. We wouldn't be as stoked as we are about what we've done if things weren't the way they are.
100%. Like, it would have been amazing to have done all of this work and stuff and put it out there, and it is hard work, but the fact that people actually engage, you're absolutely right. There is no way that we could have done anything without people actually engaging with us and telling other people about us and things like that. Like, all of our hard work would have been, not to say nothing, but it would have been very limited in its reach.
Yeah.
Without the community being so absolutely supportive of us.
Yeah. We're going to go to a very short break. So here's an ad, and we'll be right back after the break. The smallest packages can reveal the biggest hearts. This is one of the beautiful philosophies that underpins Short Story and make them one of our favourite places to go for gifting occasions. With gorgeous products focused on spreading love and joy, they're the perfect treat for yourself or someone you love. Whether you're after something beautiful and timeless, hunting for the Marvel or Star Wars lover in your life, that's me, or maybe you have a Disney adult in the family, it's also me, there really is something that will suit any gift idea and budget. With Christmas coming up, there's no better time to check out Short Story and give a gift that your friends and family will cherish for years to come. And we're back from the break, and we're having a chat with Jacinta. I say we. I'm having a chat with Jacinta, and you're having a listen. And Jacinta, we've talked a bit about the podcast stuff, the podcast side of things, but I want to delve into some more personal questions, if you don't mind.
Oh, my God. Sure.
You can speak.
Again, I haven't seen these questions, so this is full off the cuff. Let's go.
Well, you can speak as much or as little on this as you want.
Thank you for that permission on our podcast.
I mean, obviously you already know this, but yeah, we're not giving therapy or advice or anything, but I figure we've been pretty open with our conditions, generally speaking, and I thought maybe if you'd like to talk about what sort of a year it's been for you personally with your neurodivergence and your mental health.
It's been a weird year, actually. I feel like it's been full of a lot of really good things, and it's had a lot of really weird things happen, and it feels so long. Like, I don't know. It feels just so, so ages ago from the start of the year. So some obviously really cool big milestones happened this year. Personally, I turned 30. Woohoo. I am 30, flirty, and thriving, which very cool. We obviously did the podcast. I've been doing a fair bit of writing and getting interest around that. But then some like kind of challenging things have happened. So, you know, I had a lot of chronic fatigue issues and burnout. I was made redundant from my full-time work, which I keep saying was a blessing in disguise kind of thing, because as stressful as it was also a really difficult time for me to be having a full-time job. And so to have that redundancy payout was really, really useful. And it meant that I actually was able to take a few months to work through that fatigue and work through my mental health. But it means now we are getting to the pointy end of time off, and I have to start job hunting and job applications now, which is really kind of overwhelming when I don't know what next year looks like in terms of, again, the podcast and my writing and a bunch of things like that. I was absolutely stoked where I've been able to do a few workshops and talks this year. So I got to go to Wodonga and participate in their Ignite Festival, which is they get a bunch of local 12 to 18-year-old kids come and spend the day with authors and writers and all these different people. And it was just so cool this year, the people that I got to hang out with. I'm not going to name them all in case I like get their names wrong and things, but to speak to a bunch of regional kids in a way that I wish someone had have been able to for me, because I also grew up in a regional area like yourself, where you live now, where we didn't have, you know, literary festivals or access to authors or graphic novel writers and things like that, or even neurodivergent people. Like, I'm sure they were around, but 13 years ago when I was finishing high school even, things were so different. And so the fact that, like, I went into that room and I stimmed and I didn't apologize for it, and, you know, I showed these kids what you can do as a neurodivergent person, was an absolute highlight of the year and something that I'm really holding on to in terms of, like, what I can give outside the podcast, because again, the amount of kids who stayed back after the session, like the facilitators had to come and get me after one of the sessions because they thought I got lost, because I had so many beautiful kids hang around at the end of the room to want to talk to me that they figured that I genuinely had got lost or something, and they came to check on me.
I love that.
You know, the fact that so many people had so many things to tell me about their experiences, and they gave me lollies, which, you know, I probably shouldn't have taken lollies from strangers, but I did. And someone made me an origami jumping frog and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And I know, just that was a real bloody highlight. And whenever I felt crappy this year, I've thought about that I'm doing the podcast, that I am doing the writing, that, you know, I got to do that workshop, that I got to do other workshops at Fitzroy Library more locally and things like that, and how different one this year looked like compared to what I imagined, and how much better I guess it was in a lot of ways, but also like how different it looks now to like what I imagined it would look like when I was 10, 15, 20 kind of thing. Like, I'm just in such a different position, and it's a weird one because, you know, financially things suck, but holistically and personally and neurodivergently, I don't know, it's so much better. And it's an absolute privilege to have these things as highlights of my year and have the opportunity to balance more stuff with my chronic fatigue and freelance instead, and, you know, have the support of Lucas, because at the moment, like, I'll be honest, he is sugar daddying. So if anyone has any freelance work, hit me up. You got any speaking gigs? I am keen. Because, yeah, this year just completely changed what I thought my career was going to look like and what I want to do next year and the years to come.
Great answer, mate.
An all over the place answer, but thank you.
It's still good. Kind of just veering, but even though we didn't really veer away from the podcast at all, but I just want to veer my own questioning back towards it a little bit. Have any of the stories, advice, experiences, etc., from our guests, and even like our partnership with Short Story, have they been beneficial in helping in some of the tougher moments of this year? Has anything kind of like come into your mind when things have been really shit and it's resonated?
Absolutely. I think the one that springs to mind immediately is the Miranda Luby episode. Mm-hmm. So through this year, and I guess probably generally throughout my life, and I just haven't really realized it, I've had a really weird relationship with food for a number of reasons. So I think having someone speak so openly about, you know, disordered eating and binge eating and things like that, and just the way that Miranda did it, really helped me to understand that, you know, there are definitely moments of this year, especially when my mental health has been particularly bad, where I have used food as a coping strategy. And, you know, I wouldn't meet the criteria, I believe, of being officially diagnosed, but I have had some long stints of binge eating and disordered eating, and have really struggled with my relationship with food, especially with the chronic fatigue syndrome, because it's just so strange, because I know that my caloric output is very, very low and very, very minimal and very, very restricted, but I obviously still feel hungry.
Yeah.
And because I'm neurodivergent, I also still have safe foods, and my safe foods are not always necessarily the lowest calorie foods. So it's been a really hard year in terms of looking what I eat and I don't eat and my body image and my weight and things like that, that, you know, I haven't really spoken publicly about, but it's kind of been this undercurrent through the whole year, and having Miranda's episode there to go back to when I need to, and to, you know, think about what she said about the all or nothing mentality and dieting and the culture and things like that. That's been really, really helping me kind of balance those things and, you know, bring treats more regularly into my diet so that then I don't restrict and then binge and find more of a balance than what I probably was doing, which was leading to some very, very unhealthy patterns. So Miranda's was really, really useful, in helping me realize that I did have not the best relationship with food, and then giving me the skills to start addressing that, even though it's been difficult. I feel like there was also things from Danny V's episode that I took around anxiety, and, you know, it's always going to be there and you just live alongside it, and it's about balance.
Yeah.
And then obviously, like, having Jordan Steele John on the podcast to teach me all the political stuff has been so incredibly useful, and I know way more about how Senate inquiries work now, which has been, again, really important, because I think that was a big gap in my knowledge. And if I am going to, you know, look at a career as a writer and a podcast and an advocate and a speaker and things like that, I kind of need to know that stuff. I need to know how policy change works. I need to know how change gets made. I need to know what politically is happening around the issues that I speak about so that I can advocate for better change. So,
yeah. And also then speak. Sure. That's fine. But also learning about that stuff yourself and being a voice to that for people who aren't really necessarily in a position to learn about it themselves. You know what I mean? Like, that's important too. Being an advocate is as much about facilitating someone's understanding of something, but it is about just getting a point across, I think.
100%. Also, it is just so absolutely insane to me that we got one advertising and then two, a full sponsored episode from Short Story in our first year. That is just so insane that not only do people listen and engage with it, but, like, we have companies and organizations that care about what we're doing, that want to support what we're doing, that will long-term make it financially viable for us to keep giving this to you guys for free, because it's hard. And without the advertising and the sponsored content, that's the only way to kind of make it as a podcaster. And so to have people see that value, and I hope that we do it in a way that, you know, adds value for you guys. So, you know, we really wanted to engage with the topics of mindfulness and gratitude and then show you how Short Story specifically could kind of help in those challenges and things like that. So it's just so bloody cool that if we've been able to make just a tiny bit of cashola in the first year, it gives me hope that maybe next year we will be able to start funding this solo and not out of my non-existent savings that now can no longer fund us.
Don't even talk to me about non-existent savings.
But if, like, there's any other brands, partnerships or organizations out there who want to help us, get in touch.
Yeah, please. So, obviously, we've alluded to this quite a lot. We're going to be back next year with more Differently Brained.
Yeah, we are.
We're going to do some sort of end of year, new year wrap-up episodes later down the track. But I guess I just want to know, like, what are you wanting from the show next year? You don't have to give a wish list or anything. We can save that for the next episode. But what are you wanting from the show for you, Jacinta Dietrich, next year?
Oh, that's a tough question, because so many things spring to mind and then I'm like, I want to keep doing it, obviously.
Yep.
I want to keep hearing from our community and, you know, making the episodes that they want to hear. I want to know, actually, from the people if they want more guest episodes or more episodes from me and you, because I would be very interested in balancing those a little bit more and doing a guest episode and a deep dive episode, kind of alternating. I want a lot. I want so much that I don't know. I think I just want to keep doing it. And I just want people to keep getting from it what it feels like they've got from it this year. And I want people to, you know, keep feeling comfortable to reach out to us and say, hey, I want this, or I want to come on and share my story. But yeah,
listen to bloody Veruca Salt over here making all of these list of wants.
I know. And all of them rely on like everyone else engaging as well. But
yeah.
Essentially, I just want to keep our community happy. Like I want to do the things that they want us to do so that then I continue to feel less alone, they continue to feel less alone, and we just have this continued amazing, beautiful community that I just adore being part of.
Yeah. We're both inveterate people pleasers.
100%. But also, as much as this podcast, I guess, is for us in terms of we do it and we put it out every week and we're doing it for little to no financial reinvestment, whatever. We are doing it for the people. So it's not even as much, like it is probably that I'm a people pleaser and that I want the external validation, but it's also that like there'd be no point me doing this if I'm not helping you guys with something, if I'm not making the community, if I'm not doing everything, well, not everything, but if I'm not doing things that help and answer questions and give you guys access to people that maybe you wouldn't have access to talk to and hear the stories that, you know, other people aren't sharing, or, you know, amplifying voices that I think need to be out there more.
Yeah.
There's no point doing all of that if the community doesn't want it and doesn't see its value and things like that. Yeah. So
this is the purpose and value of art. And what we're doing is art, I tell you. It is art.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You get it.
Yeah. Well, Jacinta, that's all the questions I've got time for you today.
Oh, thanks, mate.
I've got time for you today. That's all the questions I've got for you today. We've run out of time. But thanks for dropping by and letting me have this casual chat with you about these things.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me on our podcast.
Thank you for our podcast.
As always, guys, if you want to get in touch and follow us over the holiday break, because we will be taking a break from dropping episodes, you can find us on our socials. We're at Differently Brained Podcast on most of them. We're also privately on the socials. So I'm at Jacinta Dietrich. Lachlan is at Rutho of the Lock. If you're interested in being on the podcast next year, sharing your story, telling us what episodes you want to see, literally anything. If you want to talk to us in any way, email is probably the best way to go because they seem to lose DMs. So hit us at differentlybrainedpodcast@gmail.com and let us know, you know, what you want to see. But yeah, thank you guys so much.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
'Differently Brained' shares the opinions of individuals and does not consider your personal circumstances. 'Differently Brained' exists purely for information purposes and should not be relied on as health or medical advice. Because no brain is the same, please consult your healthcare professional for your personal medical needs.